Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, November the 19th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a petition's been set up as part of a campaign to reform the blue badge system in Kent. Villagers bid to raise thousands to prevent development plans, and a London City Lionesses star gets her first England call-up. But first, a Kent mum has told us how her son has been suffering from anxiety after being lured to a railway station car park and attacked. 13-year-old Kian was punched and kicked by an older teenager after travelling by train from Appledore to Rye. The attack was filmed and shared on Snapchat. He then received threats. Well, British Transport Police investigated and the case was resolved out of court. Layla Sullivan has described the impact it's had on Kian and what she thinks of the punishment.
It has left him with huge anxiety, serious trust issues. You know, he says to me all the time, "Mum, I don't know who I can trust. I don't know who's actually my friend anymore." Yeah, it's left him with a lot of social anxiety. He tried going out at Halloween with his friends, ended up coming home within an hour because he was so paranoid that a load of people were after him, and he just ended up coming home. He couldn't go out and enjoy himself. It's quite sad, really. It's left him with little interest in going to school. Obviously, after the attack, the intimidation started. He was having to be escorted to the train station by members of staff from the school to come home, and I would have to meet him at the train station the other end. They wouldn't let him out of school certain days because there were groups of teenagers waiting for him outside of school. It has had an ongoing effect massively. He is in counselling now, and I'm hoping that will help him with his confidence again. Kian and I both feel massively let down by the justice system. We are trying to raise children to become decent human beings, and a part of you know, raising these humans is teaching them that with every bad action, you have consequences. And I just don't see how a child can go around attacking people as violently as, you know, he did, with video evidence, and get no more than a telling off. It's baffling to me. How are they going to learn that actions have consequences if there are no consequences to their actions? And I think, ultimately, that's going to be a real issue with raising these children moving forward. I don't want this child to go to youth offenders. I don't want anything serious that's, you know, really, really going to impact this boy's future. However, I do believe that he should be made to stand in a courtroom, and he should have to accept some consequences for his actions. You know, part of a community resolution order, an out-of-court community resolution order, is having to apologise to the victim. As I said, Kian hasn't received any form of apology, nothing. It's, you know, it's almost like it's just been brushed under the carpet, dealt with, done, over. And that's not right, you know. While this lad has got away with just a telling off, a slap on the wrist, my son has been left dealing with the mental health side of things, you know.
We really want to thank Layla so much for chatting to us. Well, Snapchat say there's no place for content like it on their platform.
Kent Online News.
Police have confirmed the death of a pupil at a private school in Kent isn't being treated as suspicious. The 18-year-old boy was found in a boarding house at Kent College, Canterbury at about 11 on Monday night. Bosses at the school say pupils and their families are being supported. A Sittingbourne man who abused two young girls and showed inappropriate content to a four-year-old has been jailed. A court heard how Melvin Walker's offences took place nearly two decades ago and caused very significant psychological impact on the victims. The 64-year-old from Crown Road has been locked up for 12 years and will be on licence for another four when he's released. Police are trying to trace a man following an alleged sex attack at a Tesco in Raynham. Two teenage girls have reported being touched over their clothes in the Longley Road store. It happened on October the 30th. Now, a change.org petition has been set up as part of our campaign calling for reforms to the blue badge system. We want cancer patients and those with short-term but serious mobility issues to qualify for getting one. The badge allows drivers to park in spaces that are much closer to amenities. Well, Ray Puttock from Boughton-on-Chelsea applied for one after being diagnosed with kidney and later prostate cancer.
For me, it's all about, you know, I intend to work as long as possible because I enjoy keeping busy. And I think it just makes things like, you know, meeting people, going to appointments, you know, the planning, it would just be simpler because I know that it would be easier. Whereupon now I have to really think about where can I park, you know, how can I manage that? And again, that journey then becomes anxious in itself. Will there be available parking in that car park? So lots of those things. And I think a blue badge would make it simpler because it would mean I could continue to work, continue to contribute, obviously to society, my business, and everything like that. So it would make things a lot easier. And I don't think it's, you know, something I'm not asking for financial assistance. I'm not asking for something that's going to cost a lot of money. It's just something that would really help me in a big way. But it's such a small thing to have, really.
And obviously, Kent County Council have refused our current campaign. They said that the cost of the blue badge would maybe have to be endured by the taxpayer. It's also said that they're worried about fraudulent use of a blue badge and it could lead to, you know, extra people taking advantage of it. Do you have any thoughts on those sort of rejections?
So a couple of things. The fee at the moment is £10. I would have no problem paying more than that if that was the case to cover the cost. So I don't think it's a cost issue. In terms of fraudulent, I think that is a valid excuse or reason. We do see lots of people using that, but again, you know, disabilities aren't always obvious, and I think we have to accept that. However, lots of times, you know, when I've noticed going to places, you see quite healthy looking people or young mothers with children using bays even without badges, so the system is abused, and I think there needs to be some sort of more stringent policing of it, you know. I know there are fines for parking in bays, but it doesn't seem to happen that often, especially on private, you know, supermarkets, car parks, that type of thing. So there is abuse, but I think that is another issue. You know, the first issue is to give people who need it the opportunity to use it, but then to weed out the people that are abusing the system.
Ray was chatting there to our reporter Ellie Hodgson. Now, MPs across Kent are backing the campaign, but the leader of the county council has said it can't be implemented. You can read this story in full today by heading to kentonline.co.uk. That's also where we've got a link to the petition where you can sign it. Resident doctors in Kent will be going back to work today as a five-day walkout comes to an end. Members of the British Medical Association have been on strike since last Friday in a row over pay. The Health Secretary has called the action reckless and irresponsible. Two NHS hospital trusts in Kent will work more closely in future and form the first group of its kind in the county. Dartford and Gravesham will share a board with Medway following an independent review which found opportunities to improve patient care. The trusts serve a population of around 800,000 people and employ more than 10,000 staff. The review ruled out merging the two organisations, so both hospitals will continue to have senior leadership teams.
Kent Online reports.
Two men have appeared in court after jewellery, equipment and other items were stolen from a house near Ashford. The property on Warehorn Road in Ham Street was targeted on Saturday afternoon and the suspects left in a vehicle. A 38-year-old from Woodchurch and a 27-year-old from Ashford pleaded guilty. They're in custody until they're sentenced. A Kent man's been arrested after more than £1 million worth of cryptocurrency was stolen during a robbery in Oxford. Two men and three women were travelling in a car earlier this month when a group of masked men entered the vehicle. High-value watches and phones were then taken. A 23-year-old from the county is among four people who've been questioned and released on bail. A County Lines drug dealer who was supplied supplying heroin and crack cocaine in Gillingham has been jailed. Real Juan Shinaba called himself Rex and was arrested in August 2020 after police saw a suspected drugs deal with a woman in a car. The 30-year-old from Pearl Lane has been locked up for 3 years. Now, as the COP30 climate conference draws to a close in Brazil this week, we've had some worrying news about insect populations in Kent. New data suggests they're continuing to decline. The figures are from the results of the latest Bugs Matter survey, which counts the number of insects on vehicle number plates. Well, I'm joined now by Paul Hetherington from Bug Life. Paul, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast today. What exactly do the results show?
The latest figures are really concerning. We are seeing across the whole of the UK a 59% fall since 2021 in the abundance of flying insects. Now, to put that in perspective, imagine if in 2021 we had 5 insects flying around. Today, we have just 2 remaining. And that's the cumulative effect of losing 19% every single year. And it's also very concerning that this is a linear drop. We're not seeing a sort of, you know, a drop off in the rate of decline. We're seeing a steady rate of decline year on year of 19%. So extremely worrying circumstances.
Yeah, really concerning figures that you've released today, Paul. And what can we put that down to? Is it one thing overall? Is it a culmination of lots of different factors? Why is it?
It is, as you suggest, a culmination of different factors. We've got loss of habitat, and along with loss of habitat, you've got loss of connectivity of that habitat. And that's, of course, a vicious circle, because once the connectivity is lost, when you lose the next piece of habitat, everything in that habitat is lost because it can't get to anywhere else to live. So that's a huge, huge problem. On top of that, it's pollution. And by pollution, I mean our use of chemicals like herbicides, pesticides, but also things like light pollution and sound pollution. All of these things are having a huge impact on invertebrates. And indeed, you know, the jury is out on what impact all of our use of things like mobile phones is having and all of these, you know, radio frequencies that we're using now, and whether that is also playing a role. Then, of course, you've got the old climate change issue. I'm actually sitting here, it's snow all around where I am. You know, in general, things are warming up. We are tending to have warmer, wetter winters. Most of our native species are not adapted to warm, wet winters. They like cold, dry winters when they can just go away and hibernate. When the temperature is not below 5 Celsius, they can't hibernate. It means they have to be active, they're burning more energy, but there's not usually as much food around for them at this time of year. Things like plants are generally not in flower, for instance, for pollinators. And then, of course, you've got things like non-native invasive species that are coming over and establishing themselves. Particularly down in Kent, you've got lots of problems with the yellow-legged hornet getting established there. And that, of course, is a voracious consumer of things like bees. So all of these things sort of add up together as a horrible vicious circle, and one tend to feed the other. So it's a horrible spiral of decline, and we need to act, and we need to act now to reverse this.
And I guess, Paul, finally, why are bugs so important? We know, but can you just explain to us why we need to reverse this decline and have more flying insects around?
So let's just take pollinators, for instance. 1 in 3 mouthfuls that we eat is dependent on pollinators. And it's things like fruit, peas, beans, courgettes, tomatoes. In fact, our staple diet would end up being the grasses. So you've got wheat, barley, rice, potatoes. You'd probably have to flavour it with some garlic, because that will also, you know, by bunching bulbs. But the point is, we'd have a very bland palate if you just lost the pollinators alone. All of our insects are either essential in the production of our food. The humble dung beetle, they reckon that is worth over £250 million a year to the UK farming industry for the work it does, just breaking down animal poo and turning it back into good fertiliser in the soil. And then, of course, even, you know, some of the little things that we perhaps don't like, mozzies and midges and so forth, they are the essential food source for so many of our birds. You know, things like the swallows and the swifts, they are dependent on things like that to eat. And, of course, doesn't happen in the UK, but midges are incredibly important because they're the only thing that pollinates the cocoa plant. And of course, without cocoa, there'd be no chocolate. And that would be a terrible thing for all of us, wouldn't it?
Paul, thank you ever so much. And you can follow Kent Online on socials today to see pictures of a fungus that's been spotted on Tunbridge Wells Common. It's known as octopus skinhorn or devil's fingers, and it's quite rare in the UK.
Kent Online reports.
A campaign group in an historic Kent village are trying to raise £5,000 to help fight development plans. Proposals have been put in for 100 homes in Lower Street in Eastry. Members of Eastry says no, say it amounts to overdevelopment. Now, they hope the money raised will help pay for leaflets, posters and archaeological research to strengthen their objections. Penny Wilson is from the group and she's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
We're saying no to overdevelopment in Eastry. We're not being NIMBYs, but we're just trying to get a handle on how development will be controlled in Eastry around a very delicate infrastructure of the village.
So this is quite a long existing group then?
No, it was formed about 6 months ago. The development itself in isolation is absolutely fine, and it's a nice little development, and I think the planners have done well to get the number of houses down. However, when you take those houses that have just been passed together with another 100 houses that are planned for just across the road, with an entrance and exit not far away, plus another 94 hospitals on an old hospital brownfield site, you're talking about congestion.
Yeah, and one last thing, Saxon Greys, what's the situation there?
Well, you know, Time Team was invited to Eastry way back in at the end of the 90s to have a look at whether there were Saxon remains there. And they discovered a lot of Saxon graves, which are very, very precious. Now, we don't know whether any remains of Saxon people are there until we start digging. And I really feel and hope that whoever's going to be digging into the ground to create houses around there is going to have archaeologists on site, and a lot of them.
Elsewhere, developers have been given permission to build more homes in a village near Canterbury that's already been earmarked for 1,000 new properties. The City Council's approved plans for 50 homes at Hoplands Farm in Hurston. That means 357 have been given the go-ahead on the five-acre site so far. Bosses in Medway will vote on the next stage of plans for nearly 500 new homes in Chatham later. The planning committee will consider stage 2, 3 and 4 of the East Hill development in the Capsden Valley. Phase 1 was given permission in May last year. And a month after residents of a new build estate in Swanscombe complained about paying £750 to maintain a log build as a play park, they've been hit with an annual bill for thousands. Those living on Ebbsfleet Cross previously criticised management company Firstport over a lack of service and unexplained costs. They've now been issued a provisional service bill, which is £23,000 more than forecast. The company says the figures are subject to change. And finally, a Kent mum says she'll never eat at McDonald's again after finding a maggot in her chicken nuggets. Sue Badham visited the drive-thru on the Medway City Estate in Stroud on November the 1st. She made the discovery in the batter of one of the nuggets.
That is disgusting. Are there any others like that?
You can see that video within the story at Kent Online today. McDonald's bosses have apologised and sent a hygiene inspector to the store. Sue says she was offered free meals as compensation.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and London City Lionesses forward Freya Godfrey has been called up by England. The 20-year-old from the Aylesford-based club is included in the squad for friendlies against China and Ghana. His England manager, Serena Wiegman.
She has done well. Of course, in the beginning of the season, she was injured, so she came back. I think she came back strong. And also, she's done well for club. I think also what you see then the partway with our under-23s, we're very close to that team. To our, I want to see her in our environment. I think she brings something different. Young player, of course. She was very excited. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what she can bring in our squad.
What was her reaction when you gave her the call that she was getting called up?
It was really nice. She was wow. And she was very excited. A little bit flabbergasted, I think. And also, yeah, I just ask her straight away, just go out there and play football and enjoy yourself and show what you can do next week.
Maidstone's Alessia Russo is also in the final national squad of 2025. And staying with football, Gillingham's under-18s have booked their place in round 3 of the FA Youth Cup. Their game against Forest Green Rovers finished 2-2 after extra time last night, and the Gills won 4-2 on penalties. Huge congratulations to them. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can, of course, follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.